views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Canto Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is October the 25th, 2018. It is a Thursday. We have a live show for you today. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And I just want to let you all know, tomorrow, we won't be on air tomorrow. Have some things that have to do, and so won't be able to do the show tomorrow on Friday. So it won't be a financial Friday, but we'll carry a lot of the stuff today. So actually, I'll tell y'all, need to take care of actually some equipment that we have. Got to make sure it all works and everything else. So we're gonna go rough it this weekend. And so when I mean rough it, I mean we're gonna really, really, really rough it. So we're going to just need to do that and get some things squared away. So won't be on air tomorrow. So just want you all to know that. But greatly appreciate you all. Pastor Keith is here co-hosting with us. And if he would, if Pastor Keith would like to join us on the show today instead of playing video games on his phone. And what are you playing on your phone, Pastor Keith? Well, I'm just going to let y'all know. You know, Pastor Keith just comes and gets right on his phone, start playing games, and he looks down and just all into his phone. And you know, I'm like, Pastor Keith, you know, we have a radio show right now. You know, there's people that wants to hear from you right now. In between your overall, what are you playing there?
No,
he done switched it to email. He was playing games a second ago, so that's what he usually does when you Then he'll jump up and say, "I want to say something right now, David. Right now." I'm like, "Wow, you know, Keith, you could have been a part of the show the whole time, but I didn't mean to disturb your overall game plan." So I'm gonna leave you to your game plan until you want to chime in, Pastor Keith. Go ahead and just get comfortable, okay? Just sit there and look pretty, okay? So we're gonna go on. Hey, everyone, I just want to say, please support Black Talk Radio Network, because without the network, then there is no Tando Radio Show. Very important. Go to the website for this network, and that is going to be www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Find a donation prompt that's there, the donation button. Hit it. Give some of your financial energy so this network can continue to grow. It can sustain itself. It's a cost. It's not easy. And it's very easy to tune into Black Talk Radio Network. Very difficult and very time-consuming, and very is a lot of responsibility and obligation to bring the overall programs to you all. And I know you all appreciate it because many, many listen. And so we need to grow this platform by way of donations, because all donations are greatly appreciated. It's the only thing that this, you know, it's a 501c. You can make a donation to it. And the thing about that that's very important is that this network was chosen, Scotty chose it to run it this way as a real grassroots organization, so there wouldn't be any corporate sponsors that come in and then, you know, first they do is they give you a sponsorship, then they say, hey, you know, we would really like to talk about this and talk about that. And so no longer is it really about information. What is really always about is advertisement, propaganda advertisement. So this is not that type of platform. So please give some of your financial energy so that it can stay on air. You can also support the network by being a part of the social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community can be found at www.btrcommunity.com. For $24 a year, yearly $24 membership fee, you will be able to engage in all of your social media activities that you regularly engage with on the mainstream platforms, which you think are free, but they're not at all. There's actually a defined cost that comes from you. And you can engage in a social media platform that is more holistically better for you because your information will not be sold to anyone. And you can actually gain from your business or businesses that you think that need to get more exposure, you can actually do that there, but and have your overall social media postings without being as adversely affected. You can do that at BTR Community within reason, of course. So please definitely engage that $24 a year and become a member, and then post is the only place that I post stuff, okay? So that's there. Also, if you'd like to acquire real money, go to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can acquire real money. And what you want to do is you always want to save in money. Use currency. When you go grocery shopping, then you use currency. We're going to touch a little bit on that today. Well, no, we have time, so let me just put it. When you go grocery shopping, buying gas for your car and everything else, that's when you want to use the available cash that you have, okay? Either by the electronical digital cash that's attached to your debit card, credit card, or in your bank account, however. That's when you use that. When things go awry, here's what happens. When things go awry, like in Venezuela, when things go awry, this is what happens. Whatever you were saving in, because economic crisis is now upon you. And when economic crisis happens, and depending on what form and what fashion that they're in, the crisis is in. But generally, this is what happens. And the ones that we're starting to see right now for the overall environment and the atmosphere that we're in right now, what happens is that the economic crisis will come upon a nation, okay, or a territory or a region or even a continent. A economic crisis will come up on, and then what happens is the cash that you were using daily, that you were using to buy your gas, to get some food, to pay for this, pay for your children's school lunch, or whatever it is that you were doing, your everyday expenditures of life, right? What happens in an economic crisis, those expenditures no longer are able to acquire what you need and what you are used to and accustomed to having. Your gas. Now your gas is going from $1.70 a gallon to $4 a gallon. So where is that other $4 going to come from? That other $2.70. Where is that overall $2.30? Where is that overall cash going to come from? Is it going to come from the children's lunch money? Is it going to come from your grocery bill? Is it going to come from your rent? Is it going to come from some of your bills? Where is it going to come from? Because now that strain is there. But not only is it there in your gas, it's also there in your food. It's also there in your daily expenditures. It's also there now in your overall bills because the interest rate on the bills have gone up, okay? And it's also there with your overall so-called, if you're self-employed or if you're an employer, the individuals that the economy that you depend on has that also baked in added expense. So where is all this coming from? So now it starts to stretch you. Okay. So if you were working off of, let's say, you know, $100 budget, whatever that is, let's just say hypothetically, Keith, it was $100 budget that you were working off of weekly before the economic crisis. And then now, when that $100 budget weekly now can only do one day. And then now you have a 6-day deficit that you need to be able to still, your overall needs are still going to be there. Your requirements are going to still be there, but your ability to service it, or your ability to acquire what you were accustomed to acquiring before the economic crisis, is now strained, right? So now you have $100 a week budget, okay? Now that $100 a week budget, that $100 can only satisfy one day. This is what happens to in crisis. So now where are you going to get the other 6 days of means? Basically, where are you going to get the other should have put it as $100 a day, right? So let's say you had let me rephrase this. Let's say you have a budget, and I don't want to make this extreme, but more I'm making in whole numbers. Let's say you have a budget of $700 per week, okay? $700 per week, or $100 a day. Now an economic crisis comes on, and then that $700 per week, the $100 per day, now you need to have $700 per day. Or $300 per day. So, or let's say it was $300 per day now. So now your overall requirements went from $700 to $2,100 per week. Where are you going to get that overall deficit from? Here's where most people would get that deficit from. They would get it from their savings, right? So now, because that deficit is there, now we have to go into, well, let me go into my savings, what I've had for a rainy day, right? And then when you look at that, you're like, uh-oh, I never had a savings. I was living off of everything every day. What I did was I had a measure of not a budget or a savings plan. I was just getting by daily. So we couldn't have any hiccups. Now we have this major hiccup. See, when we just use the, when we just hold on to cash when economic crises come because of inflation, it nullifies your daily ability to be able to survive because the circumstances have changed, right? Now it costs you more. The best plan of attack is that hopefully you had a savings plan, right? So maybe you had a savings plan of, let's say you had a savings plan of $5,000. Well, let's say $4,200 you had in your savings plan. Well, now that $4,200 is going to be exhausted in 2 weeks. In just 2 weeks. And in that 2 week time, you notice something that that you said, okay, well, maybe I got 2 weeks worth of things, but you notice something. The crisis started to get worse. And so now your 2 week savings plan has now moved you down to 1 week. And then now it's moved you down to 3 days. Because here's what happens in crisis. It's not only you that are in the crisis, but everyone that you care about and you love is in that crisis as well. So let's say you had children and you had grandchildren. What's the first thing your children going savings that you had savings, right? First thing that they're going to do is they're going to call you. Grandma, grandpa. You see what's going on? I don't have it. because young people don't have it when they're starting out and everything else, right? So they're going to call you. Your son or daughter is going to call you, Mom, Dad, I need help. Grandbabies, and what they're going to do is they're going to have the grandbabies call you. They have grandbabies. Grandbabies are going to get on and say, Nana, Papa, Papa, what's going on? And this is where having cash is not suffice as savings. Here's the reason why. Because the cash now is being hyperinflated and is losing its purchasing power, where you need more. You need to always save in a vehicle that's immune to inflation. Very, very strategically important to do that. And when that happens, what you'll find is that since you have something in savings, and that should be in real money, that is immune to inflation, so that when the inflation, so when the inflationary problem hits your cash resources, you have a backup of real money. And what happens is that the opposite happens of when you don't have cash. Now you're multiplied, your overall ability is multiplied to get through the crisis, because you're not cash denominated. You're not in a depreciating instrument denominated. You're in an instrument that gives you insurance and assurances. And so that's very, very significant and very important. So really quickly, then we'll get into what is in the news, but I wanted to really explain this. And I want to use this as a case in point. We'll use Venezuela as a case in point. There was Keith, you remember at our seminar when I showed the picture, when I showed Venezuela, what it costs to get a whole chicken, what it costs to get some tomatoes. You remember that?
I don't remember what it cost, but it was stacked.
Yeah, but you remember that part of the presentation. Okay, so, and I posted it here in Tando Radio Show a while ago. So what happens with cash is this. It's a debt instrument. And if you read the overall cash, it tells you that. It says this note is for all debts, public and private. So it's a promissory note. And because it's a promissory note, that there's a promise that's made behind it that upholds its overall value and standing. That promise is a promise to pay. How many people renege on their promise to pay, right? So now what happens when you have real money, what happens is as the currency depreciates, the overall money that you have stands fast. It doesn't go up or go down, but what it does is that the cash that you use to acquire it, that cash's purchasing power is frozen. So now you can live on the overall $100. If your budget was set for $100 a day, you will be able to live on $100 a day again, but it will, because you are in money. You will be able to use the money, transfer it into the currency, and you would get the overall $100 purchasing power that you were losing the other way by just having cash. Okay? And the best way to put it, to make it plain, because we haven't experienced this yet, but we're going to be experts at it. Someone that lives in Argentina, someone that lives in Venezuela now, someone that lives in Greece right now, they would give you personal experiences of the shock that they went through when they weren't prepared, when their currency collapsed, when their cash went to its intrinsic value of zero. They'll tell you the horror stories, and I've seen it firsthand, and many of you, if you traveled outside of the country, you've seen it firsthand. You may not have been aware of it. Here's how you've seen it. When you've gone from the United States using the U.S. dollar to another country, depending on where that country is, let's say you're going on a vacation, and you go to a country a Caribbean country or another country somewhere else. And when you go, you find out that your cash, when you exchange your currency for the overall currency of their country, they don't give you, you have $1, they don't give you one of their currencies. They give you 400 of them. They give you 200 of them. They give you 25 of them. And you say, right away, you say, what? And then their overall pricing of it is set to their currency. So now your $1 bill, Keith, has a purchasing power in their country of $25. And let's say their overall meal cost $25. A full course, four-course meal, right? And it costs $25 of their currency, for that meal. And their exchange rate was 25 to 1, meaning one U.S. dollar for 25 of theirs. So what did you pay for that four-course meal? One U.S. dollar. And while you're there, guess what you're saying with that? Oh, my goodness, I could live like a king here. See, what happens is that's the overall currency exchange rate, the conversion rate. And when crisis happens, the conversion rate to currency to money expands itself. Now you can have 1 ounce of silver, American Silver Eagle, that says $1 on it. But when you convert it to the overall depreciating cash, guess what happens? Now you get 400 of the depreciating dollars. And so now the gas went from $1 and 70 cents to $3 to $3. But guess what? Because you had the overall money, the silver, the gold, let's say it was silver. The silver, you can exchange that 1 ounce of silver back into the cash, right? And then they'll give you the cash, and guess what happens? You're eating for $1 when it costs $25. You get what I'm saying? It's the exact same thing. And why that's so important is because we generally don't do those type of things because there is no mainstream media teaching. There is no movies that's out about these types of things and how you need to protect yourself and what the proper way of savings is. The proper way of savings that they tell everyone here is to do what? Save cash and put it in the bank. Save cash, hold on to cash. Well, when you hold on to cash, you're losing your grip to inflation. And this is extremely, extremely, extremely important. And in Venezuela, if you had 1 ounce of silver, you could feed yourself and your family for 3 months. Just 1 ounce of silver. Because you can use the silver and convert it into the currency, exchange it for the currency, and believe me, there's the bank there, everybody, the black market there will be clamoring to get your silver. They'll be saying, what do I need to give you so I can get my hands on that silver? Because they're trying to protect themselves as well. But see, in here in the States, we haven't seen that happen. So of course we would be, you know, we won't know what that looks like. Only thing that we've ever known is that when we go to foreign countries, go here, the U.S. dollar, they call it the king dollar. Cash is king. Cash is never king. Cash is an instrument that's used by a king to indebten its servants. That's what cash is. So it's extremely important that we learn and start to save in real money. You use your cash, but you save in money. And cash is not money. Never has been, never will be. Even if they have cash, unless they do this with cash, this is the only time that cash becomes money. When they take, and they you know, the U.S. is still on the gold and silver standard. They say that the U.S. is not on the gold standard. There's not one. There's very few countries in the world that's not on a gold and silver standard.
That's not.
That's not. There's very, very few countries that are not on the gold and silver standard. Here's what the gold and silver standard is. In the United States, it's called the gold for gold. It's called the gold American Eagle. For silver, it's called the silver American Eagle. So whenever a country coins silver and gold, they're on a gold standard. But see, they tell you that the U.S. got off of the gold standard. They never got off of the gold standard. What they did was they closed the gold window. Nixon closed the gold window because the U.S. was broke. It was in default. It created so much debt, it didn't have the gold to back it. So that's one thing that this is in this economy that they actually purposely don't tell the general population, and they give mistruths in it all. The U.S. is still on the gold standard and still on the silver standard. Mexico is on the gold and silver standard. Canada is on the gold and silver standard. China is on the gold and silver standard. Russia is on the gold and silver standard. Any country that coins silver and gold is on a gold and silver standard. The key is to use the gold and silver standard not for the face value, not what their treasury or their mint puts the value, puts the overall value of that coin. In America, for the silver, American silver eagle is $1. For gold, for the American gold coin, they put $50 on it. You don't exchange it for its face value. That's the trick that they try to put on it. What do you exchange it for? Its contents, its ingredients. That's what you exchange it for. That's very, very, very important. Because whenever you rely on cash, you're gambling on the confidence that is going to be accepted. In today's, you know, in the past, it was the smart thing to do was to get as much cash as you can and convert it into real money, and it's still that way now. Pretty soon, you won't be able to use cash to get money. Like in certain parts of the world, you can't do it. You can't do it. Venezuela is one. One, because you won't have enough cash to acquire the overall money. In Venezuela, for one whole chicken, it takes stacks and stacks of cash to acquire that chicken. But guess what? The people there they didn't get a pay raise to match inflation. So what do they have to do? They have to be creative in acquiring the overall cash to get what they need. This is how we become extremely impoverished. Because now you're competing against your neighbor, your community, your family for those same underlying resources. And so this is why today's show is mapping out a plan. We have to map out, every person listening to the Tando Radio Show today, it's so important that you map out a plan. Whatever your circumstances is, you still need a plan. If you are, and I'm going to just use this as a, just for illustration. If you are, let's say, an NFL or NBA player, you need a plan. You need to have a true, viable, fundamentally sound economic plan. And probably the most, you can't start with a plan having any true sustainability if you don't know the difference between currency and money first. Because if you don't know that difference between currency and money first, we've actually been schooled to think something that isn't true, and is going to hinder you, is going to hamstring you, is going to harm you. If you're not an NBA or NFL player, if you're making very, very little cash at all, you still need a plan. Just as the person that gets sent a bunch of cash needs a plan, the person that does not receive a bunch of cash or very little cash or is on a fixed budget and everything else, you still need a plan. And the fundamental truth is still the same with you as it is with the NBA player or the NFL player. The dynamics are different, but the fundamentals are still the same. Because when the economy crashes, those that don't have a fundamental bedrock plan of understanding the difference between currency and money, they lose everything. They lose everything. It doesn't matter what your conditions are. When economic calamity happens, and it happens throughout human history, because it's a tool that's used, when it happens, it doesn't matter. You will see, and I'm going to give this example, Keith, it's something that people have seen before and they've heard about before. They heard about the Great Depression. Well, when they heard about the Great Depression and they heard about people that were actually paid or acquired a lot of cash, when the Depression hit, when they didn't have a plan, they didn't have a plan and an understanding of what something that J.P. Morgan said. J.P. Morgan said, gold is money. Everything else is credit. And if you don't understand what that banker said and fully grasp the meaning of it, what J.P. Morgan was saying is that because the banks have gold, they can call in all of the loans for the credit. And when they do that, when they call in, they have a margin call on all of the debt that's there. When they call that debt into service, when they say, guess what, you no longer can make a payment, you need to pay in full right now, that's a call. What J.P. Morgan was saying was that whatever you do, if all you do is think about credit, every form of credit can be called on by someone. Only gold is money. And what he was basically saying is that when you have gold, you call the loan. When you have credit, you got to answer the call. It's a big difference. It's a huge, huge difference. So in the Great Depression, there were individuals that had a lot of credit. And credit and cash are one and the same. There's no difference. There's no distinguishable difference between credit and cash. They are exactly the same. When you have too much cash, you have too much credit. Most people think that too much cash is that you have money. No, you need to convert the credit into money. There has to be a conversion. You can convert it into money by acquiring land. You can acquire things that have intrinsic value that the economy needs, and that it's the same. That's money. And best way that I always like to explain it is that if God, the great creator, made it, it's money. If man made it, it's credit. It can be called into default. So when in the Great Depression, when all of these individuals had a lot of cash, Keith, once J.P. Morgan called all of the loans, once the bankers called the loans and caused for the Great Depression, guess what happened to all of their cash? It returned to its intrinsic value of nothing. And this has happened throughout human history. Every single form of cash that man has ever created, every single one of them have gone to zero. The U.S. dollar is no exception. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. If it's a note, if it is not real money, then it's credit. So when those individuals, when they didn't have a plan, Keith, what did they do? They lost everything. And one of the things that the system does, and the bankers know, when they hold the gold, you heard of the old saying, the golden rules. Those with the gold do what? They make the rules. That's where that comes from. So what happens is that when you have a lot of cash and you have more cash than you have money, you're already bankrupt. When you have more money and less cash, you're not bankrupt. Okay? You're not bankrupt. Because your assets you can always use to get cash. You can never use a deficiency of cash to get money. It doesn't add up. So now, what happened to all of those individuals that had a lot of cash and they didn't have enough assets in comparison to those to that cash? They didn't have enough money. Guess what happened to their money that they had? They had to give it up. Because now collateralization comes into play. So now collateralization comes into play, and that basically means this. If you're going to need to get more cash, guess what someone is going to tell you? What collateral do you have that I can guarantee that I won't be at a loss in this exchange? So when you have a lot of cash, a lot of credit, and a crisis of the money that you do have, or the small amount of money that you do have, you're going to have to give it up for pennies on the dollar. This is where the common financial term comes on into play, where they say you buy when there's blood on the streets. You buy at fire sale. You acquire at fire sale. What does that mean? That means the system is causing economic crisis, so people will have to do what? We'll take anything just to be able to make it today. And tomorrow, not next week, not 100 years from now, I have an immediacy right now. So what do? The one that has the money, what are they going to say? You think that you're going to be able to go to them with your cash when they have money and they say, hey, give me what I need? And guess what their response from J.P. Morgan is going to be? Well, then you need to give me what I accept. I accept money. What money do you have? So it's very, 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 very important that we have a plan. And I want to establish a plan for us, regardless of where we are. And I think the best thing to do is always establish a plan from the individuals that don't have a lot of cash. And I'm going to tell you why, Keith. Because that's the setup for the majority of the people. That's the setup for where our true talents and our abilities are. The system definitely uses that. And they make no qualms about it. They, if you really listen to them, they tell you pretty much everything. when J.P. Morgan said that only gold is money, everything else is credit, filled you in on the fundamentals of the economy just there. Why did he say that? Because even he was beholden to that. Even he was beholden to that. J.P. Morgan and all those individuals that understand that type of principle, they're beholden to it. They're not excluded to it. They're beholden to it. They realize that they're never, ever going to allow themselves to get in a position where they have more credit than they have money, because then they know what's going to happen. Their competition is going to devour them. Ask Lehman Brothers. Ask Bear Stearns. In the last financial major crisis that the U.S. went through, Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers, they went down because of their derivative holdings. Part of it was because of their derivative position. What is a derivative? A derivative is what? Credit. So when the other bankers, I don't know which bankers it was, but maybe it was, you know, let's just say it was some of the bankers that was there with Timothy Geithner, that was the Fed, the New York Fed chair at the time, former Obama Treasury Secretary. When Geithner and the rest of the Jamie Dimon and Blankstein and all of those other bankers got together, guess what those bankers said to Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers? You forgot the most important basic rules of the financial game, Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers. You overextended yourself. And you forgot the golden rule. And they were glad they forgot the golden rule, because what did they do? They divided those companies up and they took over the little bit of assets that they had for themselves. Greece was the exact same way. Said Greece, you forgot the golden rule. You had too much cash, too much credit, too much debt. So now all of your resources will be offered. The United States is no different. Guess who's sitting back waiting to make the announcement to the United States? You forgot the golden rule. You have far too much cash and credit and not real money. I mean, Scotty said yesterday the stock market dropped so far that it wiped out all of the gains made in 2018. Yes, sure did. Sure did. Critical part about that. Is that when these bankers get together, they get together and they use events and they create the environment for things to happen. A lot of the things that you see happening have been financed, funded. For what purpose and for what reason? And one of the things about the bankers is that they fund both sides. And I would just as a case in purpose, Keith, what they'll do is they'll feed the bird so that the bird can fly with his left wing and his right wing and be able to steer with his tail. So in the political realm, there's the left wing, the Republicans and the Democrats, right? And then you have the tail known as Congress and everything else, right? But see, what happens is that the bankers feed them both sides. Because what they're doing is that they're They're leveraging and they're minimizing their risk to always win. And what they're going to do is they're going to see which one has the most deviant, best plan to get over on the other one. And guess what? I'll see where that momentum is, and then that's where I'll do what? Fund that even more, and then I win. See, they create the overall division and the divide, because what is the bird? Who is the bird preying on? Who are the bankers feeding the bird of prey? They're feeding the people to the bird of prey. The bird's chow is the people. And how do they do that? They do it from the basic principle of what J.P. Morgan said. Chase was another person. J.P. Morgan. They get the people too much credit, too much currency, too much cash, too much paper, too much cream. Cash rules everything around me. And when they do that to the overall general population, here is the basic truth. Then all of your resources will be offered. And what is our resource? When you really think about it, Keith, it's our talents and our ability. You were once in your younger years a great basketball player. That generated revenue, and it multiplied as it went up. You and all your teammates and everyone else, you know what I mean, Keith? That revenue generation went and it magnified it, and it multiplied, and it gained momentum. And then it was where did it stop moving? See, that's the thing about currency. Currency, they call it currency for a reason, because it moves. All currency is transferable. You have it today, it's gone tomorrow. So as it stops, where does it stop? Does it stop at the bottom, or does it stop at the top? When it stops at the top, what does the top do with that currency? And it's actually the momentum starts at the top and rolls down and comes back. It's really more of a boomerang. When it goes out, they throw it out with a lot of velocity and impact that benefits them, and then it comes back and they catch it. And everything that is caught by that time, it comes back to their possession. And then what does the top do with that currency that's come back to them? They don't hold it. They don't save it. They don't bank it. They don't put it under a mattress. They don't hold on to it. What do they do with it? They do the most prudent and smart thing by evil intentions, though. What do? They go and acquire money with it. They go and transfer that currency and that cash for real money. Now what happens to them? They immediately become wealthy. They immediately become wealthy. Their wealth becomes so predominant that they dictate when the next economic crisis will happen, because they control money. They end up having control of oil fields, and they hire engineers and technicians and geologists and everything else. They hire them. Those individuals work for them. Those individuals give all of their intellectual energy and everything else to say, and they create inventions. You have your inventors coming up with new different ways of extracting oil out of the ground. What's the real catalyst? Everyone is fighting to get to the what? To the oil. What are they doing to fight to get to the oil? They're using debt to get to the oil. Think about it. They are using debt. They're using credit. They're borrowing. They're borrowing people's lives, known as soldiers, to go and fight in a secure position so that their overall engineers and their equipment can come and extract oil. What is the common denominator there? They are using debt to get an asset. They're using currency, the currency of man, the currency of people, moving their talents and ability in a stream towards them, and then ultimately using that to go and acquire an asset that they can now seize and take control. They don't want to own it. When they control it, all of its energies and its properties and ability, they are now in control over. And these are some of the fundamental things that we really need to look at, and it needs to change the plan that we need to be making in our homes, in our intimate thoughts, in our relationships with our family, our friends, our community. It really has to be one of the most important conversations that you need to have with yourself, and then speak aloud to your family and speak aloud to your community. Because until that happens, until we understand the difference between currency and money and how deeply this is rooted, we will never really see the sanctity. We'll never really see the sacredness that's attached to it, where it comes from, why it's there, what its individual talents and abilities are, because each form of money has a different form of talent and ability, and we have to know what they are, because if we know what they are, then we'll never be in lack. Will never be disenfranchised. You'll never be taken advantage of. Very, very important. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
And live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, so welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. So what I want to do real quick, and we'll get back to with today's show, is mapping out a plan. We'd love to map out a plan with you all, but I want to get into some of the stuff of what's in the news that we posted there, and we will get into today's show. So let me do that. I didn't do that before, so let's set that table. Okay, real quick, Keith, there's an article from Sputnik News. As Russia, China, and India remaps Eurasia, U.S. mulls over military plan. The U.S. won't go down without a fight, a Spanish academic and author told Sputnik News, commenting on Washington's waning global influence while Moscow, Beijing, and New Delhi are redrawing the economic map of Eurasia. The U.S. is developing military plan targeting its geopolitical competitors. So true. And this, I want to take a look at this one only because of they talked about a plan. Russia, China, and India are making a plan. They're not only remapping Eurasia, they're actually reconfiguring the continent. They're reconfiguring Europe. They're reconfiguring the Americas, North and South and Central America. They're reconfiguring the Korean Peninsula. They're reconfiguring the poles, North and South Pole. So, and that takes a plan. And it's very, very important. And the U.S. is doing the opposite. That's making a plan as well. But their plan is a different plan. The U.S.'s plan is not to remap it, because they've already conquered much of that, but now they're trying to hold on to it. So their overall plan is to have military engagement, which they will do to the fullest extent of their capabilities. And what is the fullest extent of their capabilities is? Means is all-out war. World war turns into global nuclear war. A nuclear war is very much so survivable. Very much so survivable. Because here's why you know it's survivable. Because the controlling factors aren't going to let their overall sheeple go. You're not going to let their subjugants go. What they do, and you've heard of this before, they'll tell you that it's healthy to thin out the herd. That's what they're doing. They're thinning out the herd, because there's only so much resources that they're going to give the overall herd to eat. And so now the herd is not producing as much. You know why? Because the herd is in competition with few resources that they have already given. They're not going to the run of the herd by way of war, which is nothing more than a depopulation program. It's an effective, efficient depopulation program that is very, 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 very efficient because of nationalism. How many masking terrorists do we have that will compromise the moral absolutes in order for their agenda or those agendas that they choose to support? We've been schooled that way from the very beginning in all forms of idol worship. And so they have a lot of nationalism. And let me just say something about nationalism real quick. We talked about it yesterday. Nationalism is not restricted to any one person, any one sector of people, any one group of people. Nationalism is really targeting the individual, and then the individual from that nationalistic, terroristic state will decide what group they'll place themselves in. It's one of the smart things that the system does. It puts the overall poison there, but it allows you to cultivate it. It allows you to grow it. Because remember, they fund all sides. By funding all sides, it doesn't matter where you go, you still work your resource, and your energy still ends up coming to the controller. So yeah, go out, do your thing. You're right. Hate is the place to be. It really is. That's what they tell. That's the overall agenda. So nationalism is not just something that was in Germany. It's in every corner and every vestige of civilization. And it's really based off of competition. How much competition do we have? How much competition is reinforced in everything that we do? Compete, 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 compete. Winners and losers, winners and losers. You know, Keith, real quick, I'm going to get to this. Sometimes when I look at the winners and the losers, what I both see is what was given up to get there. So the winner looks just as bad as the loser. So no winners at all. It's nothing but losers. Competition breeds losers, not winners. In this form of what society, civilization has taught us competing is. Look at the overall animal population. Man competes against the overall ecosystem, and it competes against the ecosystem to where it gains out all of this. Hunting. There's a bunch of different things. I love Keith when, and didn't mean to go off on this, but you know, Keith, I remember when Michael Vick lost standing in the NFL. And I remember when Michael Vick lost standing in the NFL because of dog fighting, right? And I am not condoning anything about that. Michael said that he was doing it and this and that. So, but see, what they did was they ostracized Michael for what is done publicly and sportingly everywhere. And I remember listening, and I'm using this as this example, competition, how bad competition is, what it really, really, what's the underlying thing. They were saying that what Michael Vick was doing was just the worst thing in the world, in having dogs fight. I would never have dogs fight myself. Is it a horrible thing? Absolutely. But what was it all based around? It was all based around competition, right? Competing. They develop their overall dogs. They train their dogs. They conditioned them and everything else. They wanted to get the right breed. They did things that, so there was a skill and an art to it all, right, Keith? So they took this young man and they ostracized Michael Vick for what this country does and glorifies what the country does regularly. And I remember they said that, you know, that was evil, what Michael Vick was doing with dogs. You know why people were saying that? People were saying that, and there was a big push for that because they looked at dogs as a different tool that man uses, right? It was the overall tool that you have in your home. I have a dog. I took on a dog from my friend that had to move. I would have never had one. Right, but hey, it's a living being. My buddy's dog that I'm taking care of, he lived pretty good.
You love that dog.
He lived pretty good.
You love that dog.
So, Keith. So, what happened was that they ostracized Michael Vick, and they said it was the worst thing. They really wanted this man to lose his life. They wanted him because they wanted him to pay for what he did and everything else. And I understand I'm not condoning what he did, but I'm just looking at the hypocrisy of it all. Then I remember, Keith, I called into a well-known mainstream media sports network. And they wanted callers. They wanted the people, and they had their little experts there why it was so evil what Michael Vick was doing. And so I called in and I asked the guys, hey, do you hunt? The two guys, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go to deer season right now. I said, okay. I said, well, what's the difference between you taking a rifle and cowardly stalking Bambi and shooting him?
For trophy.
And he says, well, yeah, people have made that, but see, here's the difference, you know. We do. I said, do you do that for food? Is that a necessity? for you to do it as food? Is it really a necessity? No, but this is what the commentator said. He said, well, young man, there's something that you don't understand. He said, see, without hunting, the deer population would explode. And it would explode and it would mess up the farmlands and we wouldn't have food and everything else, right? So he thought he was smart, right? He said, the deer population, so we have to trim the herd. We have to trim the herd. We have to keep the population of deers under control so they don't eat up everything, right? Because then they're going to move into, then what you do buy at the supermarket, you won't have anymore because the deer done ate it all the way because their population has grown. You know what it is, Keith, to that? Well, let me ask you something, Mr. Commentator. Why is the deer population becoming so large? They said, well, because there's no natural predators. I said, right, because they're on the walls. They're on your walls. You and individuals like you that think that way, you've shot the overall natural predators into the extinction as your trophies. See, the ecosystem always has a proper remedy for everything, so their sustainability. So what happened was you murdered off the natural predators. Become your insatiable appetite. What's different from you than what you're calling so wrong in Michael? Nothing at all. And that's really how this economic system is built off of. And competition is always, always one of the true forms of the hidden agenda of evil. And we need to ask the right questions about these things. Why is this, and what are we contributing to? Are we contributing to our demise or to our future? And so I think it's very important for us to have a plan. And having a plan, you can map out your course and path. And in that course and path, you'll be able to look at, do I want to engage in this or do I want to engage in that? Is this how I resonate? Is this my overall energy path? This is who I am. Is this how I want to be defined? Is this what I want to do? So in these, and I'm saying this because of, you're starting to see a lot of different things happening. I posted here in what's in the news how the Pentagon is going to be sending hundreds of troops to the Mexican border. They're going to be sending hundreds of troops here and there. There's troop movement all over the planet with assets because there is definitely events that are going to need, that they're going to use troops for. And let me tell you something. This system never used troops for anything that's benevolent. It's always substantively benevolent. The real reason of it is a malevolent agenda. The troops that are going to be used at the border has the potential of blowing into something that will continue to destabilize everything here and then destabilize things other places that will actually be an entry point. One of the many entry points. The system has many, many methods to get to its objective, and they use them all. Just imagine, Keith, how things could go wrong at the border when you have troops, law enforcement, and thousands of people. It's the perfect mixture to create extensive division that will move not just at the border, but will actually start to move into neighborhoods because people are going to be angry on all different sides from what can come from what's happening in that area. Imagine this, and I would say this, Keith, do you think that this is plausible and feasible? And I definitely think this could be done. that there could be provocateurs on both sides that would ignite the overall, have the opportunity to light the flame, that the kindle is all there, that it can go into a big explosion. Absolutely.
I don't say that it could happen. I say that it always happens because they're planning.
Yeah, planning it. Yeah, it's planning. Yeah.
You know, Dave, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I have to apologize because my thinking isn't as noble as yours.
I don't know about noble. I almost said something. Shoot.
I guess what I mean by that is I was listening to your whole Michael Vick story. I was listening to your Honey story. And the word that I would use would be plausible. But I got a bad taste in my mouth. Maybe it's because I'm doing something that I promised myself I would never do. And I find myself turning cynical. And the reason why I find myself turning cynical is because I find myself falling into the category that oftentimes the people that don't look like us always says to us. And what they say to us is, why is everything with you people about race? And as I listen to what you're saying, everything that you talked about, as from the viewpoint that I see it, comes down to two things: greed that is backed up, or it's the primary thing is pride and greed.
Yeah.
But there's always the consideration of race right behind it. And the reason why I say this is because listening to what you were saying with when you were talking about the survivability of the war and the thinning out of the herds, I believe that they believe that. But I also believe that when it comes to thinning out of the herds, they're thinning out of the herds is everybody that doesn't look like them. You know, so I feel as though, like the other example that you used was, for instance, Bill Cosby. How did you guys, so show me an example where they've thrown an 83-year-old man in prison for 10 years. And if you do that, show me an example where they've thrown an 83-year-old blind man in prison for 10 days. And if you do that, show me an example where they've thrown an 83-year-old blind man in prison for 10 years, which was already under house arrest. And if we look at these things, being Michael Vick, Bill Cosby, O.J. Simpson, because that sentence that he observed, there's not a person in the world that goes to prison for what he was charged for this first offense. So I guess I'm bringing this all into, because it all interplays with each other. But the reason why I'm bringing it up now is because, again, overall, we're all God's children. Overall, we're here to love one another. But with that being said, overall, only us sit in this boat that we're living in. Look, what's about to happen, what we're about to prepare for, absolutely has to be done. It has to be done. But my sense of urgency is it has to be done more by us than anybody else, because we are what we call fire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're going to enter into this devastating time, and it's going to be devastation beyond imagination. But we're going to enter into this devastation like everybody else is, except totally different, because we're the only ones that's going to go into it as, I'll say, chum, which is what they feed the sharks to get the sharks. Well, they want to use us as a chum. So not only when we go to, you talked about the nationalism and the thinning of the crowd and how they do that to prepare their nationalistic agenda farther. But the problem is we don't enter into that national consideration. We enter into that national consideration as chum. What they're going to feed the things to get them started so that they can thin out the herds so that they can go in the future. And I hate to rant and rave, but that's what was going across my mind when I was listening to those stories you were telling.
Yeah, you know, Keith, and it was set up because there was an article I posted, and this was an old article. This was our first year here on Tando, I think it was, something called The Blaze. It was from The Blaze. And it says, Judge Scalia, this is what Judge Scalia said. Remember Judge Scalia?
Absolutely.
The former Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Supreme Court Justice that was actually, in my opinion, was you know, executed. Was murdered because I think Justice Scalia was saying things and warning the people beyond what the system really wanted him to do. Just play your role, be quiet. And so, okay, something, and this is real important, Keith. Here it is, Scalia, and this is from The Blaze. You're kidding yourself. Quote: You're kidding yourself if you think World War II style internment camps will never happen again. Don't fool yourself into believing that the Supreme Court would never again allow a wartime violation of civil rights like it did in allowing the internment camp for Japanese Americans during World War II. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonio Scalia warned law students at the University of Hawaii on Monday. And I put the article there. Now, this article was old, and I wanted to pull this old article back, and I said, remember this one, because now you're starting to see those internment camps becoming more commonplace. And this was from February the 4th of 2014, when Scalia said this. He was at the University of Hawaii. Real quick, let me just give you what it was said. Scalia said the nation's highest court was wrong to uphold internment of Japanese Americans during the World War II, but something similar could easily happen during a future conflict. In a 1944 decision, the Supreme Court upheld the conviction of Gordon Hajdubowski and Fred Korea Matsu for violating an order to report to an internment camp. He also cited a Latin expression meaning it's time for war. The law fails. Falls silent. Excuse me. He also cited the Latin expression meaning in times of war, the law falls silent. This is what Scalia said in 2014. This, in my overall opinion, was one of the reasons why they said we need to get rid of Scalia. He's talking too much. Now I want you to think about this. You have all of the people coming from the South going towards the U.S. What can that actually cross-pollinate itself into or grow into? They've already started the overall programs from the past on a much smaller scale. Remember when they were taking all of the children, where were they taking them to? Internment camps, detention centers. They may change the name, but it's still the exact same place. What are they going to do? See, what the system likes to do is it likes to slowly cook you until you're done. And it's really important for us to have a plan to look at where things are going. Right now, you know, yesterday they were talking about all of the overall letter bombs that were all over the place, right? One of the things about being a good investigator, you look at it, things from this way. Was it a crime committed? Yes. Who had the means, motive, opportunity, and who would gain the most from it? And I was talking with Keith yesterday. I said, wow. So they're basically going to now devise the TSA of mail pretty soon. So this is going to usher in the TSA of mail. And why is that so significant? Let's say you and your family, you have a family in another state. You have a family somewhere else. How are you going to get them something? How are you going to get them something? When electronically through the overall banks, that's a real quick, easy kill. What's the next best thing that people do? Well, I'll send you something. Imagine, Keith, not being able, when you have your children, your children that are college age, they're off to school, they go off to school in another state. And now the mail is TSA-ized. The overall measures and the overall noose is getting tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, but it's subtly moving into that, but it's still going into one thing. It's closing. The noose is closing. And Scalia was absolutely right. Why was Scalia right? Maybe because he knew what some of the plans were and the overall methods behind it. And then sometimes, you know, sometimes you've gotten somewhere and you're like, you know what, I really didn't sign up for this, or I don't want to be a part of this anymore. It's not who I am. So what do they do? What's the best thing for them to do is that they use their platform to give you clues. The key is, are you going to pick up on the clues that they're telling you? Scalia told you that the U.S. was going to be moving into internment camps, but those internment camps aren't for what they told you for. Those internment camps are going to be extensively used for the nationalists in all sides. They're not going to just, they needed to get these internment camps created to have a place to put the people, but they had to get it to where the people that they're going to be placing there would ignore it.
And Dave, with that being said, I think it's also important to understand with those internment camps, and you were talking about those children, it sounds like we're talking about them in the past tense. Well, that's not a past tense. That's going on as we speak.
Right.
But
right.
If you look at that a little bit farther than that, you look at those are internment camps for children. And for all practical purposes, you hear a little bit about that today, but you're not hearing a great, great uproar. So if you're not hearing a great, great uproar about the children, and they've gone in, they've shown that those places are squalor, they're not very nice, those children are being mistreated, you're starting to hear reports about being sodomized and abused, et cetera, and missing. And if you're not hearing a big outcry over children, what makes you think that there's going to be an outcry at all when it comes to people that look like us?
Yeah, it's really here, and we got to get ready to go to our last commercial break. I didn't do too much of what was in the news. I missed it, but when we come back, I want to talk just mainly about a plan. If anyone likes to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. I really, really, and I'm saying this because the events that are happening now, they're not meaningless. They're meaningful. And it's all, but when we first came on here, the Tando Radio Show, the things that were happening, we were saying that this is going to happen. That is, you know, we're probably going to see this, and I think this is what this means in here. But now we're actually seeing a lot of the things play itself all the way out, not to its full extent, but to make its full appearance. Sometimes the appearance before the act is always happening. We're seeing it appear, and we need to have a plan. When we come back, we're going to start talking about making a plan for us individually, families, and for the community. Listen to Tando Radio Show. If you want to come back, get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. So what we want to do now in the last half hour is talk about, or last 20 minutes, is some plans that I think that you should all be having. You may not agree with a lot of things that we're saying, or you may say, hey, we don't see it going that far, I don't see that happening. But one thing that is happening that everyone probably could and should agree about, that there are a lot of things that you should be concerned about, and that there is an appearance of things that are there that you may not have noticed, or things are happening in a much more profound way. And what I mean by it, they've always really been there, but the U.S. has never been in this position. And I'm primarily talking to people that live here in the U.S., but in the United States, but that's not everywhere in the world. But I'm here in the States, and I'm just was speaking about that. But there's a global play in everything. But what you're seeing, that the position that the corporation of the United States is in, and it created its own demise. It's reaching its shelf life and is going to expire, is because it's perishable. All empires are perishable. And it's now very apparent that the perishing of the United States corporate empire is at hand. I don't think that any real prudent person could say anything otherwise, given what's really happening, or what they may not be aware of what's happening, but it's still happening anyway. But it's really good for us to make a plan. And for those of you that have children, it's really our obligation and responsibility to have a plan. And I think our planning needs to be also based off of the necessities, and to be able to establish a way that we will be buffered from as much of this as we possibly can. And Keith, we need to really make a plan that invokes a Passover. We need to make a plan that puts ourselves in a position that when the Passover is offered and given, that we will be able to be safeguarded through that Passover. But I think in having a Passover, you have to be in position. You have to be ready. You have to be prepared to engage in that Passover. And the reason being is because if you don't think that a Passover is needed, then you'll never put yourself in the overall confines of the Passover. It will pass you over. If you don't see the necessity to leave, to have an exodus, if you see the necessity for us to stay, this is a home. And when I'm talking about a home, I'm not talking about the overall physical home. I'm talking about the overall sovereign, self-determined spiritualness of it all. This isn't who we are. And I say that, Keith, not only for those of us that are being more adversely affected by it, but I'm also saying that for the overall controllers that are invoking this type of, this is not who you really are. Is what you've chosen to become. And there is no escape for those individuals. It's not that the people are running It's not that we as people need to run from each other. What it is that I think that we need to run from is from the energy and the spiritual corrupt side of it all, from the debased side of it all, that spiritual debasement. That's what we need to get away from, because those individuals that choose to do certain things, they are making the choice. Hopefully they will choose, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. But for us, I think it's critical that we have a plan. And in having that plan, critical for us to have a plan so that when the overall Passover comes, it passes us over. We'll be able to engage in that. And that's preparing. And some of the things that in preparing, we have to have conversations with everyone in our home. And that extension of that conversation needs to go to our family members and then to our community members and to everyone around you. Because that's really what is going to facilitate the best opportunity that you could have. And I'll use this as an example. I'll use Venezuela as an example, Keith. There was a person in Venezuela that prepared. But they prepared only their family.
You got exactly what I was thinking.
They prepared only themselves. And they said they needed to do it silently because they were afraid, Keith, of what can happen if they talk to their neighbor, or if they're aligned with other people. And I remember asking them during that time that we were assisting them to prepare, I said, hey, how about your neighbor? What's your relationship with your neighbor? He said, oh, great people, great people. I said, well, you need to talk to them, because then what happens is, you know, you can have them work on this, and then you can do this, and then you can combine. And he got very quiet. He said, no, I won't do that. He said, you don't understand what goes on down here. I said, yes, I do understand what goes on. I understand people. I said, but I thought you said that your neighbors, yes, very good people, very good people. I like them a lot. I love them. Okay, if you love them, then... He said, no, I can't do it. No, I won't do that. We want to move on to the next thing. So we moved on to the next thing. And so when the crisis hit Venezuela full-blown, little did he know, Keith, that this neighbor that he loved, that he did things with, he had children that grew up. Their children grew up together. Little did he know that his son was secretly dating the neighbor's daughter. And when things went awry in Venezuela, because when their family left, he wanted to bring who with him? And what did the father say? No, we can't. He said, no, we have to. Drugs the kid away. This man told me this. Keith, his son was in a relationship with the young lady. They left. The young lady was pregnant. They left, and the son finally told him, I need to go back to her. The son didn't know she was pregnant. He goes back. What do you think happened to that child that she was carrying, and then the overall traumatic change and the overall shock and everything else? The child was lost. See, this is why you have to get in relationships with people around you. You can't just do this by yourself. If you have a good relationship with your neighbor, and I mean a really good relationship with your neighbor, maybe it's time to speak to them silently and see what their overall approach is. But don't overextend yourself to where they'll be banging at your door, but do the appropriate thing. You can't do any of this alone. You have to have a plan. And you have to actually have a plan where you actually listen to your children in that plan. Because your children know so much more than what you think they know. They just don't tell you everything. And then when you make a plan with your children, you're making a plan to withstand what's going to be coming. You're going to have a different relationship with our children. We're going to have to speak honestly to our children and have our children be able to honestly speak and reply. You're going to want your overall relationship. See, it's more, preparing is more about getting stuff. It's everything about getting relationships. That's what preparation really is all about. It's really about sustaining life through relationship. For those of you that have family members that are near you, and you need to get with them and actually multiply your overall efforts together as a family unit. Because that's going to be very, very critical. Because believe me, what do you think the overall national response will be when things go awry? What has the national response been to Harvey, to Michael, to Florence, to Katrina? Those are relatively small-scale events. I mean, really, really small-scale events. And what happens is that we don't learn from these small-scale events to devise a true plan, effective plan. And the true effective plan starts when, and you know, I know everyone says, okay, Dave, we're going to go step by step what we need to do. Yes, the first and most important thing is that every plan needs to establish the overall confines of relationships first. The relationship that we have with ourselves, and the people, our immediate family, and our neighbors, and then our community at large. Because what happened in those small events, Katrina, Harvey, Michael, Florence, Maria, what happened in those small events is that this is what the common denominator happened. It was once the overall event happened, they found that there was a yo-yo effect. You were on your own. And when you're on your own, I hope that you have developed a sense of community so you're not on your own by yourself, with a measure of capabilities with others. You're going to have to do it. You know, I remember when I was still in FEMA region number 9 in Southern California, and some of you that have been listening to the show, I said that I needed to move to FEMA region number 6, but one of the things that I needed to do is I wanted to get there soon enough, in time. And the main reason I wanted to do that is that I wanted to establish relationships with people that I didn't know yet. And see, what happened was I set that forth in my over in the spiritual realm, and guess what the great creator responded with? My brother Keith. And the network of individuals that I met here. Because I came here wanting to establish what I established in Southern California. My Southern California network is really, really strong. But now that overall Southern California network is even stronger, because my Texas network is strong now and building. So now we're getting the first plan that you have to do is planned for relationships. We have the table of preparedness. And one of the overall countertop, the legs of the table of preparedness is food, water, shelter, and protection. The countertop is like a table. Food is one leg, water is another leg, shelter is another leg, protection is another leg. And they are all legs that hold up a countertop known as the table, and that's energy. And that's the most important one. The energy portion of the table of preparedness is the energy of relationships with people as well. Because people bring energy. They bring know-how. They bring do-how. They bring talents, abilities. They bring resources. They bring money. So in our planning, you know, Russia, China, and India are planning. What's the confines of their overall planning, Keith? If you look at it, Russia, China, and India are all arch enemies in some form, in some fashion. India and China shoot at each other. You've for years been shooting at each other on their borders. China and Russia don't trust each other one bit. But what did they realize? They realized that a storm was coming and they needed to have a relationship so they would get passed over. The most important thing when it comes to preparing, the number one thing that always gets overlooked, you may not be able to breathe. You may not be able to live without 4 minutes of air. You may not be able to live without 3 days of water. You may not be able to live without 30 days worth of food. You may not be able to live in exposure for more than 4 days of the element. But you won't be able to live a second without the overall energy. Without energy, it doesn't exist. And so And I say that for this reason. We have to establish the right energy for sustainability. That's the first and foremost thing. So everyone, over this weekend, here's a little thing that you can do, especially those of you that have children, husbands, wives, family members, friends, whatever. Have everybody get together in the evening. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. Okay? Have them all come to your this weekend, next weekend. Plan a time. Have some people that you want to have relationship with in establishing your overall preparedness and your table of preparedness. Have them come over to your residence or preferably your residence. And get them there, and then this is what I want you to do. When everyone is there, and I want you to do this at night, when everyone is there, have something for them to eat, drink, and everything else. Get them comfortable. Get them talking. Then I want you to turn out the lights in the house to where it's completely dark. Let it all settle in. Let everybody do what they're going to do. Right? Have it completely dark. I mean, have it as dark as you can get it. Cut out all of the lights. Then cut the lights back on. When you cut the lights back on, you ask them, what would you have done if this was going to be how we were going to live every day for an undetermined amount of time every night? What would our plan be? The children, if you have children, they're going to love it and say, what's going on? And then they're all going to say, what do you mean by that? And then that could be your overall introduction as to some of the things that's going on in the world. You know your family and your friends. Devise the overall information. This is why we have put what's in the news. Use some of the things that we have in the news. Let them know that the world is preparing to move against the U.S. in so many different ways, economically, militarily, trade ways, socially, everything, destabilize. And once you have their attention, ask them to think about when you can't cut the lights back on. Are you ready for it? Are you prepared for it? Some will tell you, hey, I've been, yeah, and you're going to be surprised at how many preppers are already there, but they're scared to tell you that they preppers. They're going to say, yeah. Some are going to be like, what are you talking about? You crazy. What you've been listening to, what you've been doing. But that is an engagement that you should be willing to do because it's just that important. Thank goodness you see what you see. Thank goodness you're doing what you're doing. But we will have so much more if everyone is starting to prepare. Then we may not fall into a lot of the traps that the Passover would have prevented us from being a part of. Very, very important. So, Jimmy, get out of here.
I want to say something.
Yeah, you definitely. Keith wanted to. Yeah, we got time. Go ahead, Keith.
You know, what tripped me about today's show, and I didn't speak much, and the reason why I didn't speak much was because, as you know, we don't plan these shows out. I just, well, you do, you know, you got your format stuff. I just show up and add my little half a cent whenever I did. But where you were going with this, and I was sitting there thinking, because where I was thinking was on a different tangent than where you wanted to go, more or less. But where I was thinking was exactly what you led right into. And that is, I have to look at everything from a theological, biblical, God way of looking at it, you know, regardless of what's going on.
Right.
I was talking to my pastor today, and one of the things that I told him, because, you know, a lot of times he says, well, you don't want to upset the people. My thing is, the Bible says, again, don't worry about the man that can take your life. To me, it don't get no worse than that. Things are going to be ugly. He tells you not to worry about those things. Overall, Dave, my thing is I have to look at it from a focus of where he wants to look at it from. And we worry about the person to take the life if we can prevent it, but that's not our central focus. And the reason why I bring that too is because when I ask somebody, what is the whole basis of Scripture? And people say love, and yeah, that's true. But love means nothing without a relationship.
Right.
It's all about relationship. The only commandment that we live by, Dave, is love the Lord with all the heart, all the soul, all the strength, and love your neighbor as you do yourself. How do we go into this situation without thinking of others? It's all about relationship, and it's about relationship and all categories of life, good, bad, evil, whatever.
Right, right.
But the Bible goes into this often about relationships, 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 and relationships here on earth as well as relationships afterwards. And I just thought it was real interesting that, and maybe that's why we get along so well, is even when we're not talking about something, our mind kind of flows in the same direction. That just kind of tripped me out.
Have the same purpose.
Yeah. Unity of mind.
Unity of mind. And so relationships is everything. Now, are there going to be trials and there's going to be difficulties? Are there going to be things that you're going to have to mitigate, problems you're going to have to face and everything? Yes, that's very, very true. But the dynamics of this is that we've already seen the Katrinas, we've seen the Harveys, we've seen the Michaels, the Marias. We know what can happen, but what are we doing about from what we do know? Establish relationships first and foremost, and then start to build the table of preparedness from there. And what will happen is that you'll see something, you'll notice something. Brother David said it very well. Is that you end up being more prepared than you thought you ever were. But here's another thing that that's very, very important before we get out of here. You'll realize you rekindle something that is sacred. There's a wealth that comes along. See, when you acquire money, you become wealthy. And when you require the money of relationships, you'll find something that you're extremely wealthy. Extremely wealthy. And the wealth will go far beyond the tokenism, because it will move into the true spiritualness. And you'll find out that this is where you really have always wanted to be. Now there isn't anything that you fear. And it comes a different platform. So listen, everyone, we've got to get ready to get out of here. Greatly appreciate you all. And remember, it's never goodbye. I never say goodbye. I always say, I'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace. No show tomorrow. We'll pick back up. Great Creator willing on Monday. Take care. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to